Let's take our Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 13. Acts in chapter number 13. Most of us probably know the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Be not filled with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter number 13. And again, church, it's a real blessing to see you all again. Looking forward to the day, and it's going to be a good day. Church, listen, you need to have faith right now that God will come down in spite of who we are, and He wants to do something in our hearts and lives. You need to begin to forget about everything else and concentrate on God and just ask God to come be in our midst and do something, do a work in our lives. Amen. God is alive and well. Amen. Hey, did you see the sky this morning? Did you see how beautiful it was? And God is as good as the creation is big. Someone say something right there. And because God is so good, we want Him to come down and do something in our hearts and lives. And He's going to do it through this book right here. That's right. Amen. Are you listening? Are you ready? Now get a hold of this verse, brother. This verse is precious right here. Acts chapter number 13. Look at verse number 52. The Word of God says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Woo! That's good. Now, I'm not going to do a real good job unpacking some of this truth in this verse. Pastor would do a lot better job than I will, but I'm going to give it a shot. Amen. And God is going to help us this morning. Look at that verse again. Acts 13, 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for Pastor Orlando Pineda, all the good folks of Liberty Baptist Church. Father, thank you again for allowing us to open this book. And Lord, we pray that the Word of God will become more important than our necessary food. And Lord, we pray that you'll open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said, quote, rich are the blessings of this day if all of us were filled with the Holy Ghost. The effect of this filling of the soul would be impossible to overestimate. Life, light, purity, power, peace, and many other blessings, church, are inseparable from the Spirit's presence. And the disciples were filled with joy, amen, and with the Holy Ghost. Now, the word filled here means filled to the full. Brother, if you like your Honor Palmer, if you like your sweet tea, amen, you don't want that thing to be half full. You want that glass, amen, that 48-ounce cup, glory to God, you want it to be full. Well, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Not halfway, brother, but all the way. Amen. Someone say something right there. Now, this word filled here is the same word translated complete in Colossians 2, verse number 10. Brother, get a hold of this. The Bible says that ye are complete in Him, Jesus Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Brother, we are not unqualified or unfit for heaven because of Jesus Christ. We are complete in Him. Not halfway, brother, but all the way. Are you getting excited yet? Are you awake yet? Amen. The word filled here is the same word translated supply. Brother, write this thing down. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, brother, you may not be able to drive the brand new pickup truck, all right? But my Bible says that God will supply, not halfway, brother, all the way. Amen. Supply all your need according to His riches and glory. I need some encouragement, preacher, so I'm preaching it a little more fervently maybe than when my family heard this message a couple of years ago. Amen. But listen to this. Romans 15:19 says, I have fully preached the gospel. Brother, I want to preach the gospel, not halfway, but all the way. Philippians 1:11, Paul desires believers to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Preacher touched on that before we had prayer this morning. Colossians 4:17, oh brother, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Fulfill your calling, brother, not halfway. Amen. Go all the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15:11. Oh, mercy. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Not halfway, brother, but all the way. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now, brother, this is very important. This statement, this verse of Scripture is important. Because after Paul and the disciples had preached the gospel, just giving a little context and background to this verse here, the Jews that were in that city immediately rose up against them. They undermined what they had preached. They turned the city of the people against them. Then they incited persecution, and then they just said, "Get out!" In spite of all this, the disciples were filled with joy. Amen. And with the Holy Ghost. Not halfway, brother, but all the way. Rich are the blessings of this day if all of us were filled with the Holy Ghost. The effect of this filling of the soul would be impossible to overestimate. I guess the question that pops up into my mind immediately is, okay, this is important. So how can I be filled with the Holy Ghost? Let's go over to Luke in chapter number 11 quickly for the sake of time. I have a paper clip here in my Bible, so we'll go ahead and read it. But if you want to write the reference down, that'll be good. Luke 11:13, Jesus said, "If ye then being evil..." We're evil, brother. All right. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Now, the Holy Spirit is compared to many things in the Word of God. As light, the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us, and He guides and directs us. John 16:13-14. "As water, He washes us with regeneration." Titus 3:5, 1 Corinthians 6:11. "And as fire, the Holy Ghost melts down our impurities." Brother, I don't like it when the Holy Spirit turns up the heat, but when He does that, He's trying to burn away impurities in my life. Luke 3:16. Let's touch on three things that the Holy Spirit is to us, and this is so important, but we'll go quickly. First of all, number one, write this down. The Holy Ghost is compared to oil. Now, we're in Luke chapter number 11. Let's go back one chapter to Luke chapter number 10, please. Luke chapter number 10. Now Jesus said, John 14:26, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you." Notice Jesus said, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." Do you know why the Holy Ghost is compared to oil? It's because oil comforts. Oil comforts. Look at Luke chapter 10. Let's read verses 30 through 34. "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds," notice church, "pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him." In Bible times, wine and oil were medicinal and brought comfort to physically hurting and suffering people. We weren't turned there, but Mark 6:12-13 says, "They went out and preached that men should repent." That's a good verse right there. Amen. "And they should cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." Now, getting back to the passage here in Luke chapter number 10, who is the Good Samaritan? Get into a little typology here. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. Amen. Who is the man? Well, there's a lot of maybe applications and so forth, but this man, generally speaking, pictures all of humanity. Like this man in Luke 10, in these verses, humanity has been robbed by sin, wounded by sin, left half dead by sin. Actually, sin has absolutely killed us. Amen. Death abides on every unbeliever. But sin has stripped humanity of blessings and left humanity lonely. But through Jesus' blood, pictured by the wine and the Holy Spirit, pictured by the oil, wounded, lonely, dead sinners can be saved. Amen.
Amen.
But even Christians are like this man. We don't have literal gaping wounds. I understand. Our bodies aren't literally mangled. We're not literally half dead. But sometimes in life, we can be so deeply wounded.
Yeah.
That we can forget what it's like to live life and to love and to laugh and to smile like a child. It really encouraged me to see Brother Brad's kids this morning.
Amen.
Because, brother, did you see them, Connor and Cora? I mean, they just had the biggest smiles. Man, that's precious. Amen. Thank you, my brother. We need some more smiling like that.
Amen.
Smiling like a little child. Now, if any of you know my wife very well, she's always got a smile pretty much all the time. That's because she's with me. Amen. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for laughing. That is a big fat joke right there he just told. Amen. What a lie. But if you know Miss Laura, hey, she's got a pretty pleasant disposition. Okay? But way before I came along, unfortunately, sadly, Laura was abused by a very close family member. But if I hadn't have told you that, you wouldn't have known. Because when you see Laura, you say, man, that lady has a sweet disposition. What in the world? How can she have a smile and a sweet disposition? Do you understand that the Holy Spirit has poured Himself out like oil on her life? And now she has, brother, she has joy, not halfway, but all the way.
Amen.
You see, the Holy Spirit is like oil. He pours Himself out on people that are hurting and can heal them and comfort them.
Amen.
Someone say something, that's a blessing. Now listen, the application is this. We're to be good Samaritans too.
Yeah.
We have to pour out the oil of comfort onto people. I mean, like y'all did just a minute ago, smile. You're 1,000 times better looking when you smile. Someone say amen. Pour out the oil of a smile. Pour out the oil of prayers. Pour out, listen, the next time you're at McTaco King, listen, there is a single mother behind you with a child or two or three in her arms. Buy her lunch. Amen.
That's good.
Praise the Lord. Pour out the oil of good works on humanity. They're not going to tell you all the time that they're hurting on the inside, but
right.
They are. The Holy Spirit's like oil because He comforts and cures the heart. Number two, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter number 37. The Holy Spirit is like oil. He comforts. Oh, man. Child of God, listen. So we need to be reminded to ask for the Holy Spirit. He's like oil. He will come and comfort. But the Holy Spirit is also like wind. Wind. Ezekiel 37. Let's read the verses quickly. Ezekiel 37 verses 9 through 14. Let's read these verses quickly. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. I believe this is a type and picture of the rapture, but let's press on. I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, Oh, my people. I'm getting excited, brother, right there. And brought you up out of your graves and shall put my spirit in you. And ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, saith the Lord. Wind caused the flood waters of Noah to recede. Genesis 8:1. Wind took away the plague of locusts in Egypt. Exodus 10, verse 19. Wind brought quail and fed the entire Jewish nation. Numbers 11, verse 31. And wind tore the mountains before the prophet Elijah. 1 Kings 19. 2 Samuel 22:11 describes God as flying upon the wings of the wind. Psalm 104:3 says, God walks upon the wings of the wind. Hosea 13:15 speaks of the wind of the Lord. Now, if we look at these verses, you'll see words like wind in verse 9, the word breathe in verse 9, the word breath in verse 10, and the word spirit, capital S, amen, in verse number 14. These words are all the same word. Wow! So, notice, church, the wind of the Spirit breathed and His breath revived the dead. Verse number 9 says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Verse number 10, the wind of the Spirit breathed and His breath raised an army. The breath came into them and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. So the wind of the Spirit breathed and His breath raised the dead, revived the dead, and raised up an army. Wow. Now the immediate context of this passage teaches that God would breathe new life into Israel. Yeah. Dead as a nation, but they would come back, they would be literally revived. And if we're going by man's reasoning and his calendar, that happened in May of 1948. By the way, Israel, according to man's calendar, will be 70 years old in May of 2018. We may want to keep an eye on that. I don't know. Just saying. Don't post it on the internet, brother, on the website if you don't like that. I'm just talking. It's just us. Amen. But that happened. God revived Israel, a dead nation. It's still in unbelief, but God's going to fix that too. Amen. Right. But He revived them as a nation, and then He raised them up to be a mighty army. I'm telling you what, right now, no one's going to mess with Israel. Amen. They're packing the big N, nukes. Amen. They are the superpower of the Middle East. They may throw some rockets over the border every now and then, try to do some things like that, but they don't dare try to march in Jerusalem. Because Israel will nuke the whole thing. Amen. Right there. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Israel right there. So that's the immediate passage. God says, I'm going to revive Israel. I'm going to bring you into your own land. You're going to be a mighty army. We see that today. But this passage has application for us. We were once dead in trespasses and sin. We were the slain in verse number 9. But God had mercy on our souls. Amen. He touched us and revived us, spiritually dead. Now we're alive in Jesus Christ. Amen. Colossians 2:13 says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, baby, nailing it to His cross. Amen. The baby is the KMV, the Kevin Murdoch version, because I cannot believe that Jesus saved my soul.
Yeah, amen.
I was dead, but He raised me to new life. Praise the Lord. Not only have we been revived like Israel, but like Israel, we've been raised up for a purpose.
Yes.
Go to Acts 26 one time. Breath came into them and they lived, and they stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Brother, I know that's talking about Israel. I know that. But brother, I kind of like to think as God's people as an army. Dr. Wilkins talks about all the time. He's talked to God. Jesus wants to train an army. The breath came into them and they lived and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. What is the purpose of God's people standing to their feet? Acts 26, look at verses 13 through 18. At midday, O king, Paul said, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You can't beat Jesus, amen. You might as well be kicking spikes with your bare feet right there. You can't beat the Lord Jesus. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now get this, church. You may want to circle, star, highlight. This is not just for Paul. This is for Brother Kevin, amen. And this is for Liberty Baptist Church. Now get this, church. This is Jesus talking to us. Rise, but rise. And stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. See, we were like Paul, fallen to the earth, slain and dead in our sins. Then Jesus came and revived us, and he said, Get up! Amen! Stand on your feet. I've got a purpose for your life.
Amen.
It is for you to be a minister and a witness, amen, to turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Here's another thought. We need to hurry. Press on. Another precious thought about the Holy Ghost in our lives. When we talk about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit being like wind. John 3:8 says, Jesus speaking, says, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So, we've been revived from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have been raised like an army to be a minister and a witness by the Holy Spirit. And after that, like wind, the Holy Spirit goes into this area of our lives. And he makes this stronger. Then he, like wind, goes into that area of our lives and makes that part healthier. What the Holy Spirit is doing is he's trying to refine us. Amen. Now, we won't turn there, but Ecclesiastes talks about, hey, listen, we don't know how the bones grow in her that is with child. And so we do not know how the Spirit works. Listen, I don't know why the Spirit does what he does. When he does, he is unpredictable like the wind. You don't know when he's coming. You don't know when he's going. But we can trust, Christian, we can trust that he is trying to refine us.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. He's blowing into this area and that area to make us stronger and healthier. Brother, believe it or not, I'm not going to say he's on our team because that would be incorrect. We're on his team.
That's right.
And he loves us. And he wants the best for us. I still can't believe it, Brother Brad. I still can't believe it. But he does. We have to move on. Let's turn to Luke chapter number 3. The Holy Spirit is like oil because he comes and he comforts. And you know what? I need to be a comfort to somebody. The Holy Spirit is like wind. He revived us. He's raising us up. He's refining us. Finally, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, is compared to a dove. Luke chapter number 3, verses 21 and 22. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So as the Holy Ghost came and descended and rested upon Jesus, we need the Holy Ghost, amen, to descend and rest upon us. Amen right there. Now what happens when the Holy Ghost rests upon us? Matthew chapter 10, quickly because I have it here, in verse number 16. Matthew 10, 16 says, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's tough for me sometimes. Can I get a witness, man? That's tough for me sometimes. The Holy Spirit is compared to a dove. And Jesus says, I want you to be as harmless as a dove. That's hard for me sometimes. I want to be like the eagle. Amen? Yeah. The eagle is completely different than a dove. The eagle is a killer. Yeah. The eagle is a hunter. Brother, if he sets his targets on something, he's going in for the kill, not to go say hi and have a latte with that fish. Amen right there. Brother, an eagle can see 3 to 4 times farther than a human being, and when he finds that animal, that target, he can fly in up to 70 miles an hour, and then he can apply death, inflicting pressure with those talons. And if that fish, brother, is too big, he'll swim and drag that thing to shore and then eat it. The eagle is a killer. But Jesus doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be harmless as a dove. Think about the dove for just a moment. Doves are quite harmless. Pain is inflicted upon them. But they never inflict pain themselves. Isn't that like the precious Holy Ghost of God? We inflict pain and grieve Him, but He never, ever inflicts pain upon you or me. And so our verse teaches the Lord wants us to be this way. When the Holy Ghost descends upon us, and when He rests upon us, and when we're filled with Him, not halfway, but all the way, we can descend on others in a harmless and gentle way. Amen. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's like oil. He comforts. He heals. He's like wind. He goes hither and thither, or thither and hither, to help us in our lives. Amen. And He's like a dove. We need to let Him descend onto our lives. And when He descends, we need to be quiet enough to hear Him. Because He may want to give us something good. Amen. Brother, if my Bible's correct, and it is, that's right, if the creation was very, very good, what does that tell us about the Creator, who was very, very good?
That's right.
If we'll be quiet enough and listen, the Holy Ghost will talk, and He will guide, and He will heal. I'm getting excited right there.
Amen.
Why not? The disciples can be filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
They needed the Holy Ghost. So pray and ask for God to fill us with the Holy Ghost.